Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 7, 2024, 1 John.
All right, a couple of announcements before we get started. Once again, to remind you, there will be a meeting for all those interested in being a part of Vacation Bible School this Sunday following the second class. It'll be in the big classroom. So we're going to have Vacation Bible School this summer, but anybody interested in being a part of that needs to come this Sunday following the second class in the big classroom. And secondly, we have an Air Force Falcon who's got a birthday this Saturday, Clay Vertrees, his birthday, and I asked him how old he was. He said 29. He lies. So, 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you! I tell you, I haven't hit that note since I got caught in an electric fence, you know. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are studying on Thursday night 1 John. And 1 John is the great epistle that teaches the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age in a greater detail than anywhere else in the Word of God. And that is virtue love. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age is for you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That virtue love is made up of, first of all, personal love for God the Father. That comes first because that's the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And the third part of virtue love, occupation with Jesus Christ. 1 John 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 11. Beloved, royal family of God, If God so loved us, and this is his impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated, ophelo, we are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. No one has ever seen God, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We are living the spiritual life. And his love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in us, in our hearts. Verse 13, by this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and to realize that we are abiding in him, living the spiritual life, and he abides in us because he has sent to us his Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit to live this unique spiritual life. Verse 14, indeed we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, his eternal Son, from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas to be the Savior of the world. The greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. God's impersonal love in designing Operation Grace, the cross, which called for his eternal Son to leave heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth, take on true humanity to solve mankind's problem of sin, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life, God's imputed righteousness, and live with God forever and ever. The greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. Verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, that is, faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, God resides in him. And that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he in God, in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. Now, this brought us to studying a couple of very important doctrines. The first one we studied was the doctrine of the indwelling, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit to us in the church age. We finished that, and now we have begun a study on the doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Very, very important and powerful doctrine. The doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. And so far, we have studied the first point, point one. Point one was the prophecy of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. And that's in John 14, verses 19 and 20. We ended about that time last week. Let's start with John 14, 19 and 20. The prophecy of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gave the prophecy. John chapter 14, verse 19. And our Lord says, before long, the world will not see me anymore. This is following his death, burial, and then his resurrection, ascension, and his session at the right hand of God the Father. Since that resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father, the world has not seen Jesus Christ. But you behold me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The prophecy of the universal indwelling of Jesus Christ in every church age believer. There are three phrases here in verse 20. First of all, he says, I am in my Father. As we noted, the name of the one God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word name, anima, is in the singular. The living and true God, there's only one living and true God. His name is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one in essence, three in personality. There's only one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, one in essence, three in personality. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the exact same attributes. They are co-equal and co-eternal. And so that is what he is stating here. I am in my Father is a statement declaring Jesus Christ is deity, eternal God. Jesus Christ was undiminished deity while in his hypostatic union in true humanity. And then there is the phrase, and you in me. That's a prophecy of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Current positional truth, identification with Christ, not only in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, but identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, current positional truth. And so he says, in you, in me. And then the third phrase, and I in you. A declaration of the indwelling of Jesus Christ, which is true for every member of the royal family of God, every church age believer. The indwelling of Jesus Christ is unique to the church age. The church age is the dispensation of the royal family of God, and therefore it has certain unique features, which include the fact that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwell every church age believer. Jesus Christ is the visible member of the Godhead. He appeared to man in Old Testament times, and this is the doctrine of theophany. That English word theophany comes from two Greek words, theos, God, phino, to appear. Theophany is an appearance of the only visible member of the Godhead, an appearance of Jesus Christ in Old Testament times. In Old Testament times, Christ appeared in a theophany as a man who wrestled with Jacob. And he dislocated Jacob's hip and he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Jesus Christ is the best wrestler of all time. So he appeared as a man to Jacob and to Abraham. He appeared as a cloud, as a pillar of fire, as the burning bush. And Christ actually indwelt the sacred building of the tabernacle and then the temple, the Holy of Holies in Israel. But in the church age, Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And since he is seated at the right hand of the Father, he is invisible to mankind. None of us have seen him. We will see him face to face. when we leave our tent at physical death, absent from our body and face to face with Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? When one of your loved ones, God says, come home, he leaves his tent, he's face to face with Jesus Christ, you ought to be so excited and thrilled for him. What a glorious moment to see Jesus Christ face to face. And with him in your interim body, and just waiting for your resurrection body, which you will receive at the rapture. But we haven't seen him. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Physical death, absent from this tent, get out of this body, my body sucks. You look at me up here, you say, I don't know about Pastor Olson. He needs surgery. Yeah, I need new left knee, new right knee, new left shoulder, new right shoulder, new brain. Maybe just have a brain, you know. I'm looking forward to an interim body and a resurrection body. But people always, some of you ask, and that's, I appreciate, you want to know how am I doing? And I'll tell you, if I was any better, I'd be in heaven. Well, there are aches and pains. Nobody wants to hear an organ recital. So I don't give you one. It's only pain. Pain is nothing. Pain is nothing. God has given problem-solving devices. He's given precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdle. So what? It's a hurdle. I love running hurdles. This is a hurdle. Big deal. It's just pain. That's all it is. And then one of these days, physical death, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, or the rapture. And dadgummit, things are so bad in the world, I wouldn't be surprised if the rapture's just around the corner. But it's signless and timeless. No one knows when that's going to take place. In the church age, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and for us, he is invisible now. Point two of the doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. It's very, very important that you distinguish between the indwelling of Christ and occupation with Jesus Christ. They're not the same. So the indwelling of Christ is not the same as occupation with Jesus Christ. You must distinguish between those two principles. So, subpoint one, the indwelling of Christ is related to your body, while occupation with Jesus Christ is related to your soul. The indwelling of Christ is related to your body, while occupation with Jesus Christ is related to your soul. Subpoint two, the indwelling of Christ is a position in your body, while occupation with Christ is an experience in your heart. The indwelling of Christ is a position in your body, while occupation with Christ is an experience in your heart. Subpoint three. Occupation with Christ is the experience of Christ being formed in your soul. Occupation with Christ is an experience. The experience of Jesus Christ being formed in your soul and making himself at home in your soul, in your heart. Turn over to Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19. In Galatians 4:19, we have the Apostle Paul talking about occupation with Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:19, he says, "My children, students of the Word of God, with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you." Now, the indwelling of Christ occurs at the moment of salvation. That's true of all royal family of God. But here is something that the Apostle Paul says, "I am in labor," and labor here is like pains of childbirth, until you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, fulfill the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and Christ is formed in you, in your soul, in your heart. So occupation with Christ is the experience of Christ being formed in your heart or in your soul. Subpoint four. Occupation with Christ is the experience of Christ making himself at home in your heart. Making himself at home in your heart. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 16. And the Apostle Paul in verse 16 starts out, and every time I see this, here is perhaps the greatest believer of all time. He has more on his plate than all of you in here put together. And yet, he prays consistently, habitually, day after day, several times during the day. He was one of the greatest prayer warriors of all time, the Apostle Paul. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. This is the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Strengthen you in your inner being, your inner man, so that Christ, and the word dwell is make himself, that Christ might make himself at home in your hearts through faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in the soul, in the heart, so that Christ may make himself at home in your hearts. That's occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, the indwelling of Christ is in the body. And you will never have Christ making himself at home in your heart until you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills through the power of his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may make himself at home in your heart through faith, maximum metabolized doctrine. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in virtue love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love for Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ. You'll never know that unless you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. This is true today, unfortunately, of only a few believers. Only a few believers experience Jesus Christ at home in their hearts, occupation with Christ. Now, they're all indwelt by Christ, but only a few experience Jesus Christ being made at home in their hearts, occupation with Christ. Only those who fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. And to know this love, this virtue love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So occupation with Christ is the experience of Christ being made at home in your hearts, Ephesians 3:16-19. This is the experience of the spiritually mature believer. This is the experience of the believer who has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, who has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. Subpoint 5. The indwelling of Christ belongs to all members of the royal family of God, to all church-age believers. The indwelling of Christ belongs to all church-age believers at the moment of faith in Christ, salvation, and remains a permanent possession regardless of spiritual status or lack of it. However, occupation with Christ belongs only to the winner believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. So subpoint 5, the indwelling of Christ belongs to all church age believers at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, and remains a permanent possession, regardless of spiritual status, while occupation with Christ belongs only to the winner believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Subpoint 6. The indwelling of Christ is a guarantee. It is a guarantee that we have divine blessing. It is a guarantee that the Lord Jesus Christ has phenomenal grace blessings, both for time and for eternity, for the believer who lives the spiritual life and attains spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ. So the indwelling of Christ is a guarantee that God has waiting for us the phenomenal divine blessings. Subpoint 7. Knowing the indwelling of Christ becomes motivation. Motivation for perseverance. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. So knowing the indwelling of Christ becomes motivation for perseverance in living the spiritual life. Keep on keeping on. Subpoint 8. Knowing the indwelling of Christ motivates the believer to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as the means of attaining occupation with Christ. Knowing the indwelling of Christ motivates the believer to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as the means of attaining occupation with Christ. So again, point two, you must distinguish between the indwelling of Christ and occupation with Jesus Christ. Point three, verification of the indwelling of Christ is presented by our Lord in his prayer for us, the church. Verification of the indwelling of Christ is presented by our Lord in that great prayer, one of the great, John chapter 17. Turn over to John 17. This great chapter, John 17, and Jesus said this. After Jesus said this, he looked forward toward heaven and he prayed. And notice, all prayer is directed to the Father. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son. Well, all the way through this, he's praying. This is a prayer for us, royal family of God. Look at verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, the indwelling of Jesus Christ, and you in me. And then verse 26, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the virtue love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them, the indwelling of Jesus Christ in the royal family of God, church age saints. Point four. The indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the mysterion, mystery doctrine of the church age. The indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the mystery doctrine of the church age, and the Greek word is mysterion. Okay. Why do we have this? You're really screwing up Happy Birthday, Clay. You know. Well, there went his paycheck. And the thing is, he's sitting down. I've never had a paycheck. What are you talking about? Mysterion. M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N. You see, we're getting all this fantastic state-of-the-art new stuff. The thing is, we are not state-of-the-art. All of this equipment is state-of-the-art, just that we're old farts. Although there's a couple of young farts in here. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the mystery doctrine of the church age. Colossians chapter 1. Starting at verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the teaching of the grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures in its fullness, the mystery, the mysterion that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious, actually it says the riches of glory, is what it says, the riches of glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone as teleos believers, spiritually mature believers in Christ. To this end, I am striving, laboring, according to the power which so powerfully works in me, the Apostle Paul, and that is the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the power of the Word of God, metabolized doctrine in his heart. We live in the greatest dispensation of human history. We live in the church age. This is the intercalation dispensation. The age of Israel was interrupted for the calling out of the royal family of God. Jesus Christ, following his great victory on the cross, his resurrection, ascension, and session, was given a special title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And therefore, an interruption of the age of Israel to call out a royal family of God for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has provided greater assets and greater blessings for you, the royal family, more than for anyone else in any other dispensation. So, subpoint one, the church age is the mystery dispensation. It was hidden from past dispensations. It was hidden from Old Testament writers because of its uniqueness. So the church age is the mystery dispensation. It was hidden from past dispensations and from Old Testament writers. They knew nothing about this. And it's so unique, and the blessings are so greater, they probably would have got pissed off if they saw, well, why do they get all those things, and why don't we get those things? So God says, well, I'll just keep you in the dark. Subpoint two. Some of these unique benefits include, first of all, the indwelling of every member of the Trinity in our body. God the Holy Spirit making our body a temple for the indwelling of God the Son, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father. This is the only dispensation where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwell the body of every single church age believer. Secondly, we are the universal priesthood of the believer. In the age of Israel, it was a specialized priesthood. You had to be from the tribe of Levi. Not in the church age. You're all a royal priest. You're a member of the royal priesthood, and this is a universal priesthood. All of you are priests and represent yourself before God. And third, universal ambassadorship of the believer. We are all royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That never happened before. Fourth, we have the unique spiritual life of the church age. No one had this spiritual life. The first one who had it was Jesus Christ in his incarnation. And then he passed it on to the royal family of God in the church age. There was no unique spiritual life in Old Testament times. Unique to this time. And fifth, we all have at least one spiritual gift. You might have several spiritual gifts, many spiritual gifts that put you on the team to carry out the plan, will, and purpose of God for your life. And great, phenomenal, invisible impact on history. Subpoint three. In Colossians 1, verse 27, the riches which God has given to you have a source. The riches of glory. Verse 27, the riches of glory. The source is God's glory. The riches which God has given to you have a source. The riches of glory. The source is God's glory. Subpoint four. You have both the riches and the source of the riches indwelling you. You have both the riches and the source of the riches indwelling you. Jesus Christ, as the Shekinah glory, indwelt the tabernacle and the temple, not only as a guarantee of Israel's security, but also as a guarantee of their prosperity and blessing. So you have both the riches and the source of the riches indwelling you. Five, subpoint five, Jesus Christ now indwells you as a guarantee of your security, eternal security, and riches, and fantastic blessings. Jesus Christ now indwells you as a guarantee of your security, riches, and fantastic blessings. If Jesus Christ indwelt a building in the age of Israel, how much greater is the indwelling of Christ in the body of every church age believer. Subpoint six. The phrase, the hope of glory in Colossians 1:27. That phrase, the hope of glory, is the spiritually mature believer's confidence. The winner believer's confidence that at the point of spiritual maturity, he will receive his greater grace blessings, which will glorify God both in time and for all eternity. So that phrase, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, is the spiritually mature believers, the winner believers, confidence. Confidence that at the point of spiritual maturity, he will receive his greater grace blessings, which will glorify God both in time and in eternity. Hope here is hope two and hope three. The confidence or future expectation of the winner believer who recognizes that the indwelling of Jesus Christ is a guarantee of greater grace blessings for time, hope 2, and greater grace blessings for eternity, hope 3. Subpoint 7. Once we attain spiritual maturity, the indwelling of Jesus Christ becomes a personal reality to us. Once we attain spiritual maturity, the indwelling of Jesus Christ becomes a personal reality to us. The indwelling of Jesus Christ, then, is a part of our motivation. The motivation to keep on keeping on, to advance on, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and accomplish the ultimate objective of virtue love brought to completion in our heart. Subpoint 8. The phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory, refers not only to the indwelling of Jesus Christ, but also to the greater grace blessings deposited with Jesus Christ. That phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory, refers not only to the indwelling of Christ, but also to the greater grace blessings deposited with Jesus Christ. They're deposited with Him, and He's just waiting for you to accomplish the objective and pour out those grace blessings. Jesus Christ is the one who actually conveys those greater grace blessings. First of all, to us in time when we attain spiritual maturity, and secondly, to us in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ, crowns and rewards. Subpoint 9. He conveys these greater grace blessings to His own righteousness in us. You see, we have a double portion of righteousness. We have righteousness imputed to us by justification, and we have righteousness as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, positional sanctification, being in union with Jesus Christ. So we have a double portion of righteousness. And He conveys those greater grace blessings to His own righteousness in us. Subpoint 10. Christ in you, the hope of glory, also speaks of capacity. Capacity. As believers in Jesus Christ, we must have capacity before blessings. Subpoint 11. This doctrine of the indwelling of Christ is vital to you for several reasons. This doctrine of the indwelling of Christ is vital to you for several reasons. One, security, eternal security. 2, a guarantee. 3, motivation. And 4, capacity. Now that brings us to point 5. The indwelling of Christ is related to the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament. The indwelling of Christ is related to the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament. Now you might be wondering, how do you spell Shekinah? All right, there you go. Shekinah. This word is derived from the Hebrew verb shakan. S-H-A-K-A-N, Shakan. Shakan means to settle down, to abide, to dwell. Shakan means to dwell. It refers to the fact that Jesus Christ indwelt certain sacred buildings in Israel. And then we have the word glory is derived from the Hebrew noun kavod. K-A-B, long O-D, kavod. And kavod means abundance, it means honor, it means glory. So Shekinah expresses the presence of Jesus Christ with Israel, abiding. Glory was used for the visible manifestation of Jesus Christ as a theophany. And therefore, Shekinah represents Christ, the God of Israel, actually indwelling, Shakan, actually indwelling three sacred buildings during the age of Israel, the tabernacle, Solomon's temple, and Zerubbabel's temple. So Shekinah, from Shakan to dwell, represents Christ, the God of Israel, actually indwelling three sacred buildings during the age of Israel, the tabernacle and two temples. Glory represents the visible manifestation of Jesus Christ in theophany. So, subpoint one. Shekinah glory, then, is defined as theological nomenclature designed to explain the relationship between one, Jesus Christ and Israel, and two, Jesus Christ and the church as his royal family. So Shekinah glory, then, is defined as theological nomenclature designed to explain the relationship between Jesus Christ and Israel and Jesus Christ and the church, his royal family in the church age. Subpoint two. Shekinah glory explains the uniqueness of the Jew in the dispensation of Israel. Shekinah glory explains the uniqueness of the Jew in the dispensation of Israel, while at the same time explaining the uniqueness of the body of Christ in the dispensation of the church age. So subpoint two, Shekinah glory explains the uniqueness of the Jew in the dispensation of Israel, while at the same time explaining the uniqueness of the body of Christ in the dispensation of the church age. Subpoint three. In the dispensation of Israel, Jesus Christ indwelt a building. First the tabernacle, then two different temples. So in the dispensation of Israel, Jesus Christ indwelt, Shakan, Shekinah indwelt a building, first the tabernacle, then two different temples. In the dispensation of the church age, Jesus Christ indwelt the body of every church age believer. In the dispensation of the church age, Jesus Christ indwelt the body of every believer. Subpoint four. If the indwelling of Christ in the sacred buildings of Israel is unique and without precedent in human history, If the indwelling of Christ in the sacred buildings of Israel is unique and without precedent in human history, how much more is the indwelling of Christ in the body of every believer unique and without precedent today in the church age? How much more is the indwelling of Christ in the body of every believer unique and without precedent today? Five. Shekinah glory is a title for our Lord Jesus Christ, which establishes a link between two unique categories of spiritual phenomena. Shekinah glory is a title for our Lord Jesus Christ, which establishes a link between two unique categories of spiritual phenomena. One, the eternal and infinite Son of God dwelling in buildings in the age of Israel. And two, the eternal and infinite Son of God indwelling your body as a church age saint. So Shekinah glory is a title for our Lord Jesus Christ, which establishes the link between two unique categories of spiritual phenomena. First of all, the eternal and infinite Son of God dwelling in buildings in the age of Israel. And secondly, the eternal and infinite Son of God indwelling your body as a believer in the church age. All right. Well, last week we got point one. We're all the way up to point five. Are we done? Nah. Come back next week for more of the doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.